Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yaele Shedarel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the phenomenon of violence. It's a very painful and stressing phenomenon. We'd like to take a deeper look into it on our way to a better life. Be with us, Yael, please. When we talk about violence, we talk about actions that a person takes against another person that harm him or that harm society or even different objects or the vegetative or the animate, whether it's physically or emotionally, verbally, socially, or in any other way. In the past, physical violence was more accepted in society, both as a form of punishment, as a way of amusement, as a means for relieving tension. And as we became more culturized over time, this phenomenon became less and less accepted in society. If you look at the graph of human history, then the level of violence is decreasing. And although its external appearances are decreasing, but still, violence is something that always exists in us and erupts in ways that are maybe more politically correct, but still, it erupts, and it erupts big time. So we'd like to understand the essence of this phenomenon and its role in our life, its purpose. And I'd like to open with the question of, is violence something natural? The more developed an ego is, the more natural it is, the more developed the desire to receive pleasure, to enjoy life is, the more conspicuous it is. In the still, you don't feel it. But if, for example, we take different substances, the more complicated, complex the matter is, the more its valence, the heavier its mass is, the more it's inclined toward outbursts. And so much so that we can see that if an atom is too heavy, for example, then it starts emitting radiation. How our sun is exploding all the time, thousands and thousands of nuclear bombs are exploding at each and every moment. Meaning the greater the egoistic desire is, the greater its mass, the more massive it is, the more it's inclined towards outbursts. So we see that it's a natural inclination in the still. In the vegetative, we maybe don't see it that much, but maybe it's simply because we don't know and we don't study plants in this regard, but how they invade different places, how they climb, how they use each other in order to grow and so on. So here too, we have outbursts. These are outbursts. In the animal world, it's clear that there the eruptions reach states where if an animal erupts, then it also, it uses its common sense, should I, shouldn't I? But if there is an eruption, it takes nothing into consideration. Even a little animal is willing to attack some big animal. Meaning, it's unbounded. Meaning, it doesn't only happen in a person that he loses his common sense, but also in the still, in the vegetative, in the animate. The more the substance, the more that species, that kind of being, of creature, the heavier it is with its desire and character, then there are more frequent and more stronger eruptions. How would you define an eruption? I define it, suppose if we're talking about human beings, but in everything else too, in the still, in the vegetative, in the animate, only there we can't really. On animals, maybe we can see it. But a person, for example, He can't hold himself back in an appropriate fashion. He can't stop himself. And he allows his tension to burst out and to do whatever it takes in order to actually calm himself down. He doesn't see any other way to calm himself down but by an outburst, like a volcano, for example, that you have very strong tensions on the inside, and it's impossible to keep holding this inner tension because the shell can no longer hold it on the inside. And then there is an eruption, and we see the results, how it bursts out, erupts. And so this is how it is in the still, in the vegetative, in the animate, and also in human beings, and all the more that people have many more reasons for it. Human reasons, social reasons, family reasons, and in general, because we're all locked inside all of these sufferings and stoppages and different conditions where we can't take it anymore with our ever-growing ego that's growing from year to year, then obviously the more we advance, the chances for eruption on the personal level, in the family, in society, between children and grown-ups, between countries, the chances rise. What exactly erupts? Our tension, that instead of calming it down, we can't keep holding it like a volcano, and this is the only way, we see that this is the only way that we can decrease our inner tension. Otherwise, you can explode. We even see it on people, that if a person is under lots of stress, it's good that he'll shout or run or do something in order to lower the tension. Otherwise, it could result in heart problems and other things. There are all the time these accumulations of tension, and at a certain point, we see it everywhere, in stars and everything. The accumulation of inner tension that can no longer be balanced, and then this how the pressure is released. He also said that the more a person's ego, the more his desire goes and grows, the more he is inclined towards outbursts. Why does it work that way? Because his ego is greater, and he has many reasons for these pressures, and he doesn't see any other way to calm himself down. Why? Because there are more frustrations? Look, from generation to generation, can you compare our generation with the generation that lived 100 or even 200 years ago? You can see it in the music, in literature, in the different kinds of work, in the relationships between us. Back then, it was all at a very low frequency. We moved around by horse and carriage, afterwards trains. That was something. Today everything's flying. Yeah. We can't even wait a moment. I want it here and now, immediately. This is also how it is inside the person. This turmoil doesn't only happen outside of a person, but also internally. It's harder to keep these things in the more the ego grows. So, we talked about eruptions. We said that eruptions is the accumulation of inner pressure and tensions. So, from here, can I understand that violence is a result of inner tension? Of course. Of course. A person is all the time making calculations, usually. What to do, how to behave, where should I, where shouldn't I? And even if he acts out an eruption, he acts it out, that it's worthwhile to express himself this way. You can see it on politicians, that sometimes they allow themselves, it's all pre-planned, obviously. But we're talking about ordinary people, then they're really, there are such states, conditions, where a person can't hold himself back, and the court sometimes takes these things into consideration. And when a person finds out that he was cheated, that he was lied to, that something was done to him unjustly, he loses his calm. Yeah. So you're saying that up to a certain degree there are things that are accepted and things that are not accepted beyond that degree, suppose. Okay, now, are there people that are more inclined towards violence from birth? Of course. We have sanguine, choleric, melancholic, and phlegmatic, four different types of character. Yeah. You can't compare between choleric and phlegmatic. Phlegmatic until something reaches him. On the way, he has different filters and so on. Until it reaches him. Ah, really? Is it so? The way he responds. And the choleric, immediately, he didn't even listen to the end. He's already ready to erupt. These are different types of nature, and unfortunately, we do not take into consideration this given that comes from man, and you can't judge the choleric and the phlegmatic in the same way. When a person erupts in violence, what is he actually lacking? He lacks reaching inner equilibrium. What do you mean? Balance, inner balance between the reasons and the outcomes of what is happening, who does it come from, for what purpose, and then if he really does the correct calculation, then what follows is that he can keep himself in balance. Only the thing is that it depends on how he was brought up. We learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah that all the reasons, that everything that happens to us, even though that it seems to us as if it comes from other people, but it all comes from above. There's an upper force that controls our entire life down to the last detail. And therefore, if we have this kind of thought, this kind of calculation, I feel, I understand, then of course my response will be more balanced then. And that too to a certain limit, to the extent to which a person can take into consideration what we call none else besides him. And this is how we can determine things. And there's the matter of education that can really balance a person out almost in any case. There is the matter of the environment that can influence a person in such a way that he will feel how he's expected to keep himself all the time in a balanced state. And if not being in a balanced state, then to what extent can he show to others that he's not balanced, that beyond this limit, he will no longer be accepted as a normal, normative person? You talked about the correct calculation and balanced response. And you said that if a person knows how to make the correct calculation, then it will be easier for him to hold all of these acting forces in a more subtle way, to calm all of these pressures that are influencing him down. How do you make a correct calculation? This is something that you have to teach a person. He has to see a woman that erupts because a little dog attacked her little child. Then how she yells and how concerned she is. You can understand. She's a mom and so on. Meaning, you have to know how to look at these things and how to clothe in that erupting person and to see that there's the matter of a person's character that's acting here and a person's education, that a person can't be blamed for being brought up the way that he was and his character, he didn't choose it, and the circumstances of what's going on right now, he didn't choose that either. He didn't orchestrate it. And maybe other conditions too. And after we examine all of these parameters, then we can say, Your Honor, Judge so-and-so, like there is this inner trial going on inside a person or in society, or it's a real judge. And then we can take these things into consideration and bring this to some kind of a general level where we take into consideration each and every person's character and all the conditions and the way they were brought up and so and so. And then we can measure them according to the same standard. Where are we erring in our calculation? We don't know how to make these things. We don't. Our judicial system doesn't take these things into consideration at all. It's very hard. We have to bring everyone to this common kind of level that we have to give each of the different types of character a certain coefficient. That after this coefficient, the character that a person was born with no longer matters. So to take into consideration the different things that put pressure on a person, that stress him out, and also his natural ability to cope, deal with these things. Now, also education. What family was he brought up in what way? Where is he living now? And what kind of environment? I have to make some kind of average out of it. That an average person has to meet this image. Now, it could be education, health condition, different things, everything. And then I can consider whether his behavior, whether his eruption was natural, relatively, or it was completely beyond everything and there was no justification for the way he behaved. So it opens the door for some of the people to erupt and be violent. No, if we correctly take all of these things into consideration and we arrange some kind of average between all people, that I know how to bring all the different sorts, types of people to this one image, and then consider whether he erupted beyond what's acceptable according to the law or not, then things are going to be different. Suppose a dog attacked a small child and the mother that was next to him started hitting that dog, and the dog's owner came and started hitting the mother. It's kind of like what we read on the Pesach Haggadah about Chagadiah. Yeah. So how do I examine these things? What tools should I measure this by? Okay, you mentioned education and where a person was brought up and what kind of environment and how essential this is. From researches, we know that the family that a person grew up in has a tremendous influence over him, over his potential to later become a violent person or not. Why? If a person grew up in a violent family as a child, why does it influence him so strongly and he can become violent later too? Doesn't necessarily have to be violence. Maybe his family gave him everything. He was loved, he was given everything. No one ever put pressure on him. He felt like a king. And when later he begins his grown-up life and he sees that people treat him differently, he can't hold himself back and he erupts. Where is the kind of behavior that I'm used to? Why are people treating me this way? So you can say, look, the family that he was brought up in and the education that he got and so on. And look, look who he is. So there are different examples here and we have to take everything into consideration. There are entire systems that our judicial system isn't taking into consideration at all. When a person violently erupts against someone else, a moment before he erupts, what does he feel inside? What goes on inside of him? In a moment, suppose he's going to harm or hit another person, but he has pressures on the inside, this I understand. Were he alone in the world, no problem. He could erupt however he wants, but there's another person next to him, and suddenly we see that one person acts violently against another person. A moment before that, what goes on inside of him? He feels that he's going to harm someone else. No, he doesn't. So what does he feel inside? He feels that he has to erase this inner tension that makes him feel that he's about to explode. This tension that's acting inside of him is so high that the only thing that he's thinking about is how can he erase it. This is the only thing that he's thinking about. That's it. To kill, to hit, to, doesn't matter what. He simply wants for this phenomenon to no longer exist in the world. What phenomenon? I don't know, suppose he kills someone. So, it's done in a moment where you see nothing besides this desire to act. Not to act. I'm in a state where I want to erase the reason for my tension. Because otherwise, I can't come out of this tension. So much so that either I die that very moment, this is what a person internally feels, yes, or I really run that person over. I feel it's like either me or him, it's survival, yeah. Okay, a few moments ago, you said that a person can, with all the data, parameters, ways he was influenced in life, a person can reach a state where he can balance himself out. And you said that in the wisdom of Kabbalah, when a person can tie everything that happens to him with the upper force, his response immediately becomes more balanced. So my question is, what thoughts awaken balance and what thoughts awaken pressure, tension, and so on? I can't say what thoughts. It's not just thoughts. It's all in all a collection of things that influence a person internally and externally. It depends on what he sees and hears and the influence of the environment. Okay, all these things, they influence him and create this inner tension inside of him. Now, what I'm asking is that regardless of the kind of volcano that's going on inside a person and what are the reasons for it, you said that a person can learn how to balance himself eventually. You said that it's related to his ability to tie everything that happens to him, that it comes from the one general force that controls all of nature. So my question is, what thoughts can a person think in order to balance himself a bit? To constantly be connected to the upper force, which is the reason for all of a person's thoughts and events that happen. And if he ties himself to the upper force this way, strengthens himself in that, then he sees that everything that goes on around him, these are only means, like in a theater, that these are actors of the upper force, and this is how he relates to them as people that are acting out a certain role. And how does that influence him? How does he see reality? He doesn't want to erupt against someone or something or the environment because he sees that it all comes from the upper force, from none else besides him. And therefore he doesn't erupt against other people. But he knows that he has to balance himself only with the upper force. And it could be up to the point where either I go to war now and I blow up the entire planet, or I say, are these things related? They're not related. They're not to blame. It's all in the hands of the upper force, and I have to get along with him. For him to balance everything, it's not that I'm going to balance it by blasting something or whatever, but that the upper force will balance it out by the forces that are in his hands, because everything is in his hands. So you're saying that there are only two players here. Yeah, man and the upper force and reality between them. And what about that inner eruption that a person feels coming? He sees it as an opportunity, as an invitation from the upper force to turn to him. And what is the role of violence in our life then? What does it exist for? In order for us to learn from it, that all these things, they only lead us to problems and troubles because we're disconnected from the true providence, governance that spreads out in front of us. Okay, when you're talking about the upper force, there are many people watching us now. Some believe in the upper force, some don't, and so on. When you're saying that a person can calm his violent urges down, the upcoming eruption by being connected to the upper force, give me some kind of definition that a person can realistically live with, even if he's not a believer. It's very realistic. This upper force is called nature, which is one global integral mechanism. And if we start relating to him this way, we'll really start discovering how everything is really interconnected and that we're also a part of that force. And this will make our life better, safer, happier, and calmer without unnecessary outbursts of rage that are actually useless. Let's help each other be this way. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. We'll talk about this more on our next shows. And until next time, all the best.